Welcome to the Grace Hour Show, a Christian program that takes a dive into our daily challenges and helps us learn our faith in a practical way. My name is Jasmine Field, and I am joined here with my beautiful, wonderful co-host, Miss Michelle Benoit, in the studio. Today, we are so thrilled to be here, everyone. We have had such a beautiful emotional and mental journey in preparation for this show, which I think will be very touching for many of you. We just want to go ahead and say early on, however, that this is a mature content show. And even though there is going to be so much biblical backing, it does create a vulnerability and it introduces a topic that small ears are not ready for in deep discussion. So today we are going to be talking about sexual intimacy in marriage, and it's beautiful and it's wonderful. However, the timing in which we study this is also very crucial. So moms and dads, we do ask that you listen to this podcast privately, or you have your little one do an activity in a separate room so that you are still able to listen and to benefit. But before we jump in, Michelle, you had an announcement that you wanted to share.
I do. Wow. We have a Tuesday morning connection. They've studied the Bible, and their new book coming out right away this Tuesday, January 21st, is Tent Maker.
All right.
It's a journey with Paul through Acts. You can sign up at ggwo.org/events. Tuesday morning, 9:45, there's free coffee. Woohoo.
Oh, nice.
And there's 12 devotionals written by our pastors all through the book of Acts. And I would be remiss if I didn't mention that our engineer, Sebastian Palmieri, has a devotional in there also.
Yay!
So it's a great book. So anybody who wants to study the book of Acts,
wonderful.
Join us.
Wow. You know, I love that we can always go back to the word and say, when we want to grow deeper understanding of who we are, we have to start there. And I think that's why this topic has been so personal to us, Michelle, because in preparation for the show, you and I met up, we discussed so much together. And one thing that we definitely agreed on is that we do not receive as much teaching on this as is needed from our earlier ages and throughout our time in ministry.
True.
I think part of the reason is because it's just so deeply personal.
We're going to put in a little disclaimer here right now that this is not only for married people. Mm-hmm. You've got a whole week on sexuality and culture. Tomorrow they're talking about purity.
Mm-hmm.
Later on in the week, moms and dads are going to receive help giving the talk to their little ones.
Beautiful.
Or not so little ones if you haven't done it already. Pastors, there's going to be a session for you. And if you're just a prayer warrior, jump in with us and pray for us and for our congregation.
Please do. Yes, this is... I was listening to a podcast that was saying this is an issue that affects all of us. Our sexuality affects all of us, but it's the number one topic that nobody likes to discuss openly with regularity. So we're feeling it. We're experiencing it. We have curiosities about it. We have histories with it. And yet we have this hesitation to really pursue it the way we do other subjects in the Bible. You know, and I just think about the fact that really deep down, we really are desperate to hear about why and how God designed us because it's so intricate. It's so personal. And us uniting the thought that God having a sexual nature is one of the reasons, the main reasons why we have one. It is just not something that we go to naturally in our thinking. We think about Genesis and we think about being made in his image in Genesis 1:27. We don't think about the fact that afterwards God said, this is good. Everything about this is good. This is meant to be enjoyed by us as individuals, as we embrace our femininity and our masculinity. And then we go to these brand new heights within the protection, love, and security of a marriage relationship. So,
well, if you're single and you're looking for a man or a woman, you're probably looking for a boyfriend or girlfriend, and it's probably based on the movies and TV shows you watch.
Mm-hmm.
And our culture is just sex-soaked.
Yes.
Just go check the top 10 movies last year and how many of them – I have not done this, and I'm not going to do this, but how many of them dealt with illicit sex?
Oh, absolutely.
Not beautiful, pure marital sex, but someone having an affair – it's so stimulating. It's so exciting. That's how they're going to get ratings.
Mm-hmm.
And then our culture, our people, our young people think this is normal.
Yes.
When it's not normal.
Yes.
We need to be looking for husbands and wives, and only God knows how to do that.
Right.
So number one, let God pick out your husband and wife.
Amen.
And don't be surprised if there's conflict in your marriage.
Oh, yes.
Conflict is a great worker.
Yes.
You know, of conforming you to the image of Christ. A little bit of friction over dinner, it's okay. Don't be afraid.
Sometimes it's a lot of friction
in many areas. It could be.
Yeah.
But you know what? That means you've got more things to talk to God about.
Right. Right.
You know, in the shower, in the car, in the carpool line.
And you can reach these new levels of emotional and mental and physical intimacy with each other when these things are more open topics between you all. I do think there are some things that we've kind of put on the back burner and we say, well, we share this relationship and for some reason that we're kind of comfortable with, kind of uncomfortable with, we know that he allows us to express ourselves in this physical way in our relationship,
sure,
but let's not really talk about it. Let's not attach it to anything regarding total enjoyment or pleasure. Let's just stay away from the fact that we don't really know how we feel about this. And unpacking that as a married couple is so crucial, Michelle, because women and men are designed differently. And sometimes we can use our designs against each other.
Sure.
You know, we have our private thought life toward our spouse. And then by the time they're in front of us after a day away because of work, we are already in a negative place. And that does not generate sexual feelings like at all. But then you have a man saying, but wait a minute, I'm designed differently. There is a pressure in me, a buildup in me. I'm built as an initiator. I'm ready. I'm always ready. And that's because God has designed me that way. And that's not something to be shameful about.
No, it's good.
But when we don't understand, I think we don't realize how much of a trap Satan keeps us in through our ignorance about this topic.
Oh, yeah.
And God is an open book. So let's just try to normalize. Let's do a different normalization today and take it right away from the 10 top movies and say, let's hear about the top things God has to say about how he intentionally created you as a sexual person.
I love it. Does the Bible speak on sexuality? Oh, yes, it does.
Absolutely.
Genesis, Song of Solomon, Revelation, the beginning, the first book, a middle book, and the end book. In Genesis, we've got the whole origin. Whenever you study the Bible, go back to the first mention.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very clearly outlined. In Song of Solomon, a whole book right in the middle. It's this book about love and marriage and sex and intimacy. It's bold. It's embarrassing, some of it.
Mm.
But it's positive endorsement by God. None of it was deleted. None of it was, you know, blacklined. It's marital love in all its physical and emotional beauty.
Mm.
And at one point, the bride locks her husband out of the bedroom. You know, it doesn't get more real than that. And then in Revelation, we've got the culmination. The bride is made ready for eternity in Revelation 21:9. Come hither, I will show you the bride, the Lamb's wife.
Wow.
I've just been feasting on that all week.
Mm.
The Spirit and the bride say, come in Revelation. So what is the Christian view of sex and intimacy? It is not what our culture is saying. Our culture is saying, meet someone, have sex, somewhere down the road, say, I love you, have a kid, and then somewhere down the road, get married.
Mm-hmm.
This is so messed up.
I hate all of the uncertainty and the lack of stability that that endorses. Because marriage was created by God to be the safe union with which you are able to express yourself freely. But what creates that bondage? A lot of time it's whether or not someone is going to call you the next day.
Oh, wow.
Whether or not they deep down truly enjoy your company, or do they enjoy your body more?
Mm.
Or are they trying to prove something in being with you because there's some sort of sexual pain or history inside of them that leaves them out of sorts emotionally, mentally, physically, and sex is an equivalent to approval for them.
Wow.
And all of these things are ways where God is saying, I want to go deeper with you. And for some of that process, another person will be part of the healing, but within the context and the safety and the design of the relationship I created for this. And this, honestly, Michelle, this really baffled me. Like when you think about married couples and you think about, I don't even want to just say the world's culture towards it, but even the kind of hush hush culture that the church has about, you know, we don't talk about this openly all the time. it does not promote people wanting to be married. A lot of times the adventure, the fun, the creativity, the freedom that we see falsely promoted in the world, it's stealing from what God wants us to have in our marriages and cheapening it. Because a lot of us don't attribute our marriages with the word freedom. We think this is private. This needs to just be something we get through. This changes, makes me a little uncomfortable. I wonder how much of us even have sexual relationships with our spouse or sexual conversations with them that lead to more sexual relationship on the regular basis. A lot of us just kind of avoid the topic. And maybe it's because it's something in us that we've avoided for a long time based on our sexual history. And I think that that's the key question that we have to ask ourselves from the very beginning, rather than duty or shame. Or, you know, there's one podcaster, her name is Francie Winslow. She has a podcast called Heaven in Your Home. And she says, don't should on yourself. Don't say, I should be doing this and I should be doing that. What you really need to be asking initially is, what is my history with sexuality? Because it's coming with you into your marital relationship, and having the don't look back mentality is not enough to make that experience as personal or as enjoyable as God wants it to be for you.
You're right. We see in Genesis 2:20, Adam gave name to all the animals, but for Adam, there wasn't a helpmate for him. Mm-hmm. So men cannot find fulfillment in their jobs alone.
Yes.
And women, we try to find it in our house, our relationships, in our outfits. It's not going to be there.
And our kids.
Oh, my gosh. Let's close that door quickly. Genesis 2:18, it's not good that man should be alone. After all the good things God made, He said, this is not good. And that's not a commentary about men. It's a commentary about intimacy. Mm. And God's not reminding himself, oh, gosh, I made a mistake. No, he's showing us, you know, this is not good. We need to have two. Intimacy takes two.
Mm-hmm.
So in the next verse, he goes to sleep. Mm-hmm. God provides a woman. She's amazing. We are alike, but so different.
Yes.
My husband and I tried to install a printer, a brand new printer that came with no directions. We had the fight of our life this year.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, it's only, January 13th? I don't know what day it is. And we've already had the huge fight of 2025. But you know what we discovered in how we couldn't make this silly printer work, that we approach things differently.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end of the whole thing, we got the silly printer working and we went and had a cup of tea and we affirmed each other.
Yeah.
Okay, wow, you do things so differently than I do.
Yes.
Your first impulse is so different, but woohoo, we got that printer together.
Yes.
And it was fun.
Yeah.
You know? And we need to remind ourselves, number one, being married is fun.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Know? And what is God's purpose for sex? Mm. Well, just children? No.
No.
Because that's not mentioned in the beginning in the Garden of Eden.
Mm-hmm.
Genesis 2:25, they were both naked, mm-hmm. the man and his wife, and were not ashamed.
Yes.
God, the inventor of sex, planned for us to be naked and unashamed.
Yes. Amen.
Which is just incredible.
And, you know, I think that that really is a great tie-in, Michelle, to the fact that something as simple as that, as being undressed in front of your spouse, how does that make you feel, you know, as a woman, as a man? Because whatever is going on there, a lot of times it's linked to something that has created a discomfort.
Oh, sure.
Maybe it was a misguided focus on a body part, or maybe it was something that has nothing to do with you. Maybe their early experience with anything sexual was sinful, whether it was them instigating it or someone else instigating it before that time was supposed to happen. You know, it all comes with us, especially as women. And I love this book I wanted to recommend. It's called Red Hot Monogamy.
Fun.
And it's by Bill and Pam Farrell. And it's, the slogan is Making Your Marriage Sizzle, which sounds awesome. Like it could be a little bit strong, but there's so much teaching inside of it that mm-hmm. helps men and women understand each other from these very tender perspectives, and helps us understand how biblically the marriage relationship and its design goes together. And that goes all the way from a woman bringing every concern into the bed with her to a man saying, okay, this is the best form of stress release that I can have in my life.
Sure.
How can I help that to happen tonight? You know,
sure.
Very different designs and thoughts,
sure.
But we're both wanting to comfort each other, be there for each other, but it's a good work to get there. We do have to know how the other one is doing, and we need to make sure we understand each other.
And if you're not married, if you're just living together, how can you get naked with somebody?
Right. Without there being that shame there, that self-consciousness
or the doubt.
There.
Are we going to be together in a year?
Absolutely.
Is he going to find someone else?
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Do I really want this?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
We've got blocks and walls and we're hiding behind things because we're not sure where this is going, how
yes.
this is going.
Yes.
You cheat yourself of so much fun when you live with someone instead of getting married.
I think the world just tries to focus so much on that momentary gratification, that momentary approval, not even just physical, but, you know, oh, this means that I've got it together now. Somebody wants me now. I'm desirable now. If I do these things, they're just reaching for this approval. And what they really desire is that fulfillment from God, that they are enough because they are from God and they are part of his design. But I love the earlier podcast that both Roger and Liz Robbins facilitated on intimacy and marriage. And I love what they said about how the original intent for marriage, the relationship is so strong, so deep, so personal. So if you're casualizing that and just having sex with whoever you want, however you want, it's literally like you are taking pieces of your soul, giving it to someone else, and then seeing whether or not they're going to embrace it with the fullness that God has ordained. They can't if you all are not even in the context of a godly relationship.
Without commitment.
Without that commitment, without, that's why a vow is so strong, Michelle. Mm. This is higher than a promise. This is no matter what we go through, how ugly things become, I am choosing this and choosing you. And just when I do have some doubts, I'm leaning into God rather than into the circumstances or into your behavior. And this is how real intimacy is formed, when we know the person wants to be there and they're not depending on us. They are totally depending on God's leadership and working through that with us in all of our life seasons.
And when you've made a commitment in marriage, okay, tonight maybe not go well.
Mm-hmm.
So what? We'll try tomorrow.
Yes.
Or, you know, Saturday or next week. We've got our whole married life together. This is just a small part of it.
Yes.
But when you're performing for a stranger,
mm-hmm.
and this is a sport that mm-hmm. you should be good at.
Mm.
Oh, this is crazy.
Absolutely.
You're putting all this pressure and it's sin.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're just going to say, being naked, Adam and Eve enjoyed freedom from self-consciousness.
Yes.
I can't wait till we get to heaven and have that again.
Mm.
And unashamed, total freedom from sin consciousness.
Mm.
They had no sexual sin in their past
yes.
to deal with. Can
yes.
you imagine?
I can't. Especially with, like you said, such an infused sexual culture.
Yeah.
Even people that are trying to stay focused on God, it's just become this mutilation. You know, sex is attached to this. It's attached to this celebrity or, you know, this ad, when it should be attached to God and saying, okay, God, you will talk about this with me, right? I can pray about this, right? This is intentionally how you made me. And I'm very aware of it. I just don't always know what to do with it. And I have sharks ready to just strip me of the purity of it.
Yes.
And so we really have to protect ourselves. We have to protect our children because something is always teaching us. And we want to run to God for what the true teaching is.
I agree. We confuse sexuality, intimacy, and lust.
Mm-hmm.
Now, sexuality is this God-given desire. He wired us this way. To have physical sex with your husband and wife, it's a temporary thing, but it is so satisfying.
Mm-hmm.
Intimacy is a state of closeness,
yes.
fellowship, communion that can be physical, but it can also be spiritual, personal. It's temporary, but satisfying. And lust is this desire for an illicit relationship. Not a pure, holy, godly thing.
Mm-hmm.
That's the payoff. It's forbidden, so I want it.
Mm-hmm.
It's never satisfying.
No.
You have the sex act,
mm-hmm.
but my goodness, tomorrow you want more.
Yep.
You want it again.
And there's these threads of remorse and uncertainty within it. And then you try to mask that by saying, I just need to go do it again. Maybe something happened wrong. Maybe not the right words were said.
Not the right person.
Not the right person. And thus begins a cycle of you pursuing something that really in your heart, you're just not ready for, and you're already approaching wrongly. But again, the desire itself is not wrong. Having a sexual desire is not wrong in and of itself. However, it was given to you by God, and to God it must return in order for that fulfillment to be there.
You know, I think the greatest example of godly sexuality is Joseph and Mary.
Okay.
In Matthew 1, Joseph has a dream. He takes Mary as his wife. Mm-hmm. He was trying to figure out how to divorce her. God was like, no, you're getting married. And it says right in the scripture, he knew her not until she brought forth her firstborn son.
Mm.
So the scripture's being very clear. They did not have sex.
Mm.
He showed great restraint. He lived with her. They got married and lived together with no sex.
Wow.
For over 7 months until she had baby Jesus.
Wow.
And then had to wait for the purification ritual. How is that possible? Well, yeah. He had integrity.
Yeah.
In our culture, people are living together, having yes. sex. He decided no.
Mm-hmm.
No. I mean, what would it matter? She's already pregnant.
Right.
You know, it wouldn't matter. He could really do what he wanted behind closed doors. But mm-hmm. here's this incredible guy putting her first.
Yes.
Not putting his needs first. Did yes. she stay a virgin? I know we see statues of her with a cute little halo around her head. No. According to the scripture, Mark 6, the people are saying, isn't Jesus the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother mm-hmm. of James, Joseph, Judah, and Simon, and are not his sisters here with us? And they were offended.
Hmm.
Jesus had at least 4 brothers and at least 2 sisters.
Wow.
Okay, they're in a family of 9. How did those other kids get there? Mary and Joseph had sex.
Yeah.
So it's clear that it's God wanting to give us something beautiful, a
yes.
family.
Yes. But you know what? I love what you pointed out, God, and or God, Michelle. I love what you pointed out about God, Michelle, because you said a word that I think is very interesting, and it can be interpreted in very different ways. You said the word restraint.
Mm.
And I think that that's something that both married men and non-married men really do battle. And even in conversation with my own husband, I told him, like, one of the points where I was kind of trying to understand God more as far as the male design is, what about the period of time before a man gets married where women are still, of course, on his mind? And even though he is trying to honor God, it's not like an off switch that he can turn off, because his body is designed to initiate. And so my husband was saying one of the best things that is helpful for a man is to stay built up in his mind and understand that it's not the sexual act that is forbidden. It is the way in which you want to express it that God is trying to have fellowship and conversation with you about ongoingly. Because I think, especially as a young person, of course, you want to do the thing that you're being told over and over and over again you don't do. But as you grow, you need more backing than that. Well, why can't I do it? What happens if I do it? Lots of people that I know have done this,
sure,
and they're saying great things about it. Now, of course, that's very one-sided. You know, they're not going to share that they were crying alone in a room, or that they actually don't feel as fulfilled as they thought they would. And now they're very confused, because we have this culture that promotes having it all together through however much you can conquer your sexuality with other people, or even through self-gratification, you know? And so we have to really understand that restraint in the eyes of God is about protection. It is not about, you know, it can feel like self-torture. It could feel like God is against me. It could feel like God is using my design against me. But even as far as our physical makeup, Michelle, we were talking about this, about how even in our physical makeup, we can think about how we are designed and think about what that means as far as initiating and receiving. So when we think about a male sexual organ, it's very outward, it's very visible, and it is to be used
inward, inside of a woman as the receiver, the responder. And so when we see that, we don't have to say, oh my gosh, that's too strong. I don't want that. This is a picture of God's constant initiation of love and grace towards us as women. He is always ready to bestow it upon us. And it is not something that, like women, takes a longer time to be generated. God is ready to love, ready to forgive, ready to bestow grace. And he has designed a man to be a physical symbol of that, even internally as his body functions. And then what about us as women? We are sensitive both internally and externally as we are having these conversations with you that transfer to our heart sure. and our emotions and our mind. And we don't realize a lot of the time for men and women, our most sexual organ, in addition to how God has designed us, is our brain.
Sure.
If I'm stressed or I feel like you don't want anything to do with me, that does not generate sexual feelings for me. That kills it, actually.
Yeah.
I'm ready for the next activity. Now I might feel small. I could feel degraded. I could feel unwanted. Mm. And that's processed differently through men and women. And we don't realize that, you know, we don't realize that sometimes a conversation specifically focused on how our feelings and our sexuality are tied together into our marital relationship. It is the biggest difference between us feeling like a sexual relationship with our spouse involves freedom or involves burden.
Well, for us, the sex act doesn't start when we walk into the bedroom.
Right.
It started that morning.
Right.
And a thoughtless, unkind, impatient word from our husband rolls around in our head all day long.
Mm-hmm.
And like you said, how we think about our husband when he's not there.
Yes.
Is more crucial,
oh my
really,
gosh.
Than when he walks in the door.
Those inner monologues.
By the time he comes in at 6:30 at night, we could have a full head of steam.
Yep.
You know?
Yep.
Well, buddy, you're not going to treat me that way. And we really find it hard to calm down.
Yes.
Or to ramp up.
Yes. Yes.
We need more time.
It's true. And if we just came from doing something with our kids, maybe somebody is sick, you know, so now we've just gotten through sticky medicines, you know, possibly things coming out of them, you know, crazy bath times, emotional overstimulation because of how many hugs and kisses are needed. And we want to give it, you know, we're women, we are givers, you
sure.
know, we are responding to what is happening through giving our love. But now I'm going into our bedroom and I feel gross. I want to take a shower. I want to put on things that smell good. I want to smell candles. I want to feel my smooth
plaid
skin.
Flannel pajamas that we got at Christmas time.
I want comfort.
Yeah.
I want comfort.
Yeah.
You know, but our husbands don't always see it like that. And maybe they think saying something like, wow, sweetheart, thank you so much for taking care of the kids is enough after we have literally just come from a situation that involves so much of us. And there's more of a transition there that's needed. You know, when we have emotional connection to our children and to our husband, we need time to pull away emotionally and then refocus on who you are. And like you said, Michelle, if there's a wound that's still there from 2 days ago, even from 5-10 years ago, I'm sorry, it is causing that division. And I need to know that you care about how I'm doing.
And the worst thing to do with that situation is put sex on the back burner.
Yeah.
Say, okay, talk to me next month.
Mm-hmm.
No.
Mm-hmm.
Let's start the conversation now.
Absolutely.
This is something that God wants you to deal with in your own life.
Yes.
And he's given you this man or woman to help you be free.
Yes.
From your old sin nature's power.
Yes.
You can't get rid of your old sin nature, but we can get rid of the power that it has over us.
Mm-hmm.
And I love the intimacy of Mary at the feet of Jesus. I know I'm making a big segue here.
Yes.
But he let her get that close.
Mm-hmm.
Every time we see her, Luke 10, John 11, John 12, she's at his feet.
Mm.
First, she's listening to teaching. Then she's there in sorrow because of a dead family member.
Mm-hmm.
And then she's pouring out. And we need that time with her husband. It does not need to take days. It could take a half an hour.
Yes.
Where, yes, I'm in the bedroom here with you. Get me a cup of tea. Get me a piece of chocolate. Get me a nice cozy blanket. Listen to me for 15 minutes so I can download the day. And then I'm ready.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And if you just don't don't say we're not having sex this week, this month. This is crazy.
I think it's a really big go-to because it's just an emotional response, you know? And a lot of times what I don't think a lot of men realize is that for women, and I do think for men also, it's just in a different way, but for women, every time we are sexual, it is a huge emotional and mental experience. And so if I'm already exhausted, you don't realize that you're saying, can you just be a little bit more exhausted? And that's just not a sensual, inviting invitation for me.
So you want that connection is to plan it.
Yeah.
You know, and maybe plan a few backup days.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We're doing it Monday, Wednesday, Friday. But Saturday's on if we need it, you know, if this didn't work. And, you know, hey, ladies, we're not, your husband's not asking you to make Thanksgiving dinner at 11 o'clock at night.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but guys, also help us.
Yes.
You know, help us get ready. Be kind to us in the morning.
Yeah.
Because we can't cast that down easily.
Yeah, we have this fragility in us as women. Even if we are women in leadership, even if we are strong-minded, we are still at our core in need of constantly being reassured of safety and of beauty and of value. And I wanted to read this short excerpt, Michelle, because this is actually from Red Hot Monogamy. And the author, Bill, he actually has a little message to the men in one of the chapters. But throughout the book, you can hear his voice and he addresses men and women, which I think is very helpful. And he says, men, your wife's view of sex is much different than yours. Her sexual fulfillment is connected to everything else in her life. If you want to connect with her sexually, you must first connect with her heart. When she feels close to you emotionally, she's more responsive. When she's in touch with her children and proud of how you father them, she's more attracted to you. Additionally, her sexual experience revolves around her monthly menstrual period, which is uncomfortable and inconvenient. Because of the dispersal of hormones within her body that cause various feelings, some days she feels very sexy and interested in contact with you, and on other days, she's out of sorts. However, sexual arousal is still accomplishable anytime if a husband makes it a practice to genuinely compliment her, listen to her, and romance her ongoingly. A woman brings everything about her life, including ongoing body change insecurities and family concerns, into the bed with her. She feels that she has a safe place in you as her husband when she feels that you're not tired of hearing her concerns and you still desire her. Her feelings of security and sexual arousal are always connected. This is part of her godly design.
Now, see, I hope this gives a clue to some young people who are considering living together or who are living together.
Mm.
Do you get a clue that this is going to be a long game? And you can't expect a guy that you met 2 weeks ago to
or
understand
yesterday.
This
mm-hmm.
or who that you're living with. But I don't know if things don't work out, mm-hmm. you know, I can upgrade.
Right.
You know.
Right.
Lust. We got to talk about lust.
Mm-hmm.
Both men and women, you know, watch porn, consume porn.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why we think it's real sex. Mm. It is usually done, orchestrated in a horrible way.
Very staged.
It's
very staged.
Not only staged, but women who are trafficked, young mm-hmm. men who are being trafficked,
mm-hmm.
Who, you know, we don't know what their situation is and we hate it and mm-hmm. we want God to deal with it. But that lust, everyone's shocked that Solomon had 1,000 wives.
Mm.
But if you're watching pornography every day masturbating to that,
mm-hmm.
well, you have 1,000 wives too.
Yep.
You don't even know their names.
And you break the opportunity that you have, like you literally cause a numbness in the heart to have the intimacy that your future wife or husband is going to want to have with you in the future.
Yes.
They are not going to want whatever you saw. They're going to want you.
Yes.
They're going to want the depth of you, and you're literally not going to be able to connect and communicate that because you are causing a constant detachment between this and yourself. And so you don't think of it that way. That's exactly how it's designed. It's about getting to that moment and really believing that once you achieve that moment, that climactic moment, everything is good. And I will say for a couple seconds, it is. The problem is you have more life to live after the couple of seconds. And then it's a huge mess where you don't know how to have a relationship with a person or look at your spouse without objectifying them, because that's what you've taught your brain to do.
Sure.
And this is actually when we cause damage to our godly design, because we're completely out of order.
Yes. Masturbation and pornography have nothing to do with healthy sex.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and if you're expecting, if you're young and you're not married and you're expecting, oh, well, once we get married, this is what it's going to be like.
Right.
It's not at all. And we can see Samson in the book of Judges. You know, he was a man ruled by lust, born to godly parents under a Nazirite vow, but he never conquered sexual lust. His first recorded words in Judges 14:2 are, "I saw a woman, get her for me."
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, there we go.
Wow.
And he went on to become judge of Israel for 20 years. You'd think, okay, in 20 years, no, he goes right back to it.
Mm.
A harlot in Gaza and then Delilah. So preoccupied with his own desires, he didn't even recognize when the Lord had departed from him.
Wow.
And we'll just say, you know, he's taken prisoner, this mighty man of God. His eyes are gouged out and he becomes a bald-headed clown in Philistia.
Wow.
I know at the end he has a great victory. That's God's grace and redemption.
Yes.
But how was his experience those years grinding out corn and being laughed at?
Mm.
And Proverbs 5 says, verse 22, an evil man is held captive by his own sins.
Yes.
They are ropes that catch and hold him.
Absolutely.
If you want to ruin future marriage happiness, watch porn.
Yeah.
Have sex with multiple partners. And don't get married. There's your recipe for having a miserable marriage.
Wow.
But how about, you know, and no one has communion with God while they're watching porn.
They don't. They really don't. Know. And I'm glad you said that, Michelle, because a lot of times we can justify and say, God put this desire in me. He knows I need to get it out. He knows I need to express it. And you're right. He does. But he also has an order with which he wants you to do it for your own protection now and later, and for your own fulfillment now and later. And when we think about the verse in 1 Corinthians 6:18, where Paul says, run from sexual sin. No other sin so clearly affects the body as this one does. For sexual immorality is a sin against your own body. This is personal. This is literally taking everything about your design and willingly sabotaging it with the false belief, which I do think after you sense the guilt and the shame, which does come in, you know that what you're doing isn't right. I just think that by that time, because the door has been opened for you visually as a man, emotionally as a woman, or even both for both genders, we have this lie that starts to brew in us that if we just stay in that climactic state, which you cannot do ongoingly, but if you just stay there, you'll feel better. And you know what? The wife who knows her husband is doing that behind closed doors, she doesn't feel better afterwards because there is no conversation about it with her, because that involves emotional intimacy, which you just went and detached yourself from more and more and more. And even a wife who maybe she already has something in her history. Maybe there's molestation. Maybe there's premarital sexual experience from pressure as she was growing up. So she's already in this tender, broken place. You're supposed to be part of the healing process. And if you are a man coming from a background with pornography, she's supposed to be part of your healing process.
I love that.
But you know what? You're both bringing it into the marriage, and it's not something that is just over and done with emotionally and mentally in a month, 2 months, even a year. It requires good work investing in your spouse and saying, how does the love of God get right here? And how does the blood of Christ start the washing process in both of us so that we can start building memories of comfortable, loving, godly sexual experiences.
And the work is worth it.
It's so worth it.
You know?
Oh my gosh. And there's going to be a measure of it for everyone. A lot of times people go inside of a marriage, there's some sort of discomfort there. Your goal, your life goal, is to figure out where your spouse's lies and then bring it before God in prayer. Sometimes counseling is helpful and receiving teaching. Michelle, we were talking about how much teaching is actually available through podcasts, through books. You should be careful. You should only listen to people who have a healthy walk with Christ and are attributing things not to their own opinion, but to the Bible.
Sure.
But we need to keep learning. We need to be okay with sexuality being a regular discussion.
There is no such thing as casual sex with strangers. Mm. Your body and your soul will keep score.
Mm.
When we make sex casual, it doesn't lead to increased satisfaction.
No.
It leads to increased degradation and an addiction to the pursuit. You're not addicted to the sex act. You're addicted to the pursuit of having something better than last time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but what do we say? Do Christians say, well, we have to concede because we've lost the battle? Even Christian young people are getting engaged and living together before they get married. No, no, we're going to continue to call it sin.
Yes.
Premarital sex is sin. It's not going to ever be approved by God. God's never going to say, oh, wow, you know, you guys, well, it's fine. You've already given her the ring, the engagement ring. You're going to get married in 3 weeks. Go ahead.
Yeah.
No, God's never going to say that.
Right.
You need to learn to say no to yourself and to your spouse.
Mm.
This is a good thing to practice before you get married because you're going to have to do it afterwards.
You actually made me think of another resource I wanted to mention because I know that for my husband, as well as other men, and this is a book that's been referenced on Focus on the Family as well. This is Every Man's Battle by Stephen Arterburn, and it is a wonderful resource that is just helpful for the thought process, the healthy, godly thought process towards sex in a way that men can relate to. You know, when men hear from other men, but they also see that those men have triumphed in the Lord in this area, it really does encourage them. And so I really just want to encourage any young adult and even married couples who feel like I've been married for 25 years, 30 years, and I just feel like a babe in this area. You know, there are resources and there are testimonies of how God's truth has gotten in there in the center, and He is powerful enough to change the course of your future. And it can be beautiful. It is work. It can be very uncomfortable. You know, a lot of times we think about the word squeamish when we talk about a lot of things sexually, but it's worth it to sit there and be uncomfortable until your understanding grows and you are not afraid to say, I am a sexual person that God made, and He'll help me know what to do with that in this season and in this position of my life.
I love that. You know, Satan's going to do everything he can to get you into bed with someone before you're married and keep you out of bed after you are married.
Yes.
So there's some things we can't control.
Yes.
But if you have shame or guilt over your past, maybe you had an abortion, you had an affair or a crazy one night stand, you don't even know with who, and you got pregnant and, oh boy, we're not letting anyone know, especially if you're a Christian girl.
Mm.
Christian girls have as many abortions as unsaved girls because they're afraid. And we get it. We understand that.
Yes.
But it's forgivable.
Yes.
You know, it is forgivable.
Yes.
You made a mistake. It was a big mistake. It had big consequences.
Yes.
God already knows.
Yes.
And it broke His heart, but not for Himself.
Right.
God's not mad that you broke His rules.
Right.
He knew breaking His rules would scar your soul.
Absolutely.
That is the whole point of sin. Mm. It doesn't hurt God. Mm-hmm. He's God.
Mm-hmm.
It hurts you.
Yes.
And He doesn't want that for you.
Mm.
He doesn't want it for you. He wants you to have grace. He wants you to have joy. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy.
Yes.
So, and if you don't call it sin, you're never going to go to Him and receive forgiveness.
Right. Right.
If you read Psalm 51, it is a textbook on how to be free from sexual sin. And right in verse 1, I can't believe this is in there. It says, Psalm 51:1, to the chief musician, a psalm of David, where the prophet Nathan came to him after he had had sex with Bathsheba.
Mm.
It's a song that people sing.
You know what? I appreciate that because I don't think there's enough transparency, especially within a lot of church circles, not just within our ministry, but I do think that it's just a topic where people feel like this is a little too personal for me. And what I would like to say about that, Michelle, just as like a, I guess a one-time challenge, you know, as somebody who came to the Lord later on in my life as a college student, I sure would have benefited from knowing that there was a place where I could talk about biblical sex and sexual feelings in a context with regularity. I'm not talking about a one day we all get a mic and we get it all out, because going to think about sex every day, we need more than one discussion about it.
Yes.
And so that would have really helped me as a young adult on a college campus where I'm surrounded by people that are constantly saying the narrative that I'm thinking about it too much. I'm overthinking it. It is meant to be fun. It is meant to be a freeing experience. I don't need to attach myself to it. And it can be fine if we just have a cool experience together and we understand each other in that way, even though you don't. I mean, so many messages, especially unfortunately, the pornography industry has gotten into the minds of so many children as early as the age of 9. That is a statistic now. So at 9 years old, a lot of kids are receiving their first teaching about sexuality and sex if they haven't already had those discussions with their parents. And every parent is not comfortable with this, but I'm saying that pray through your discomfort, lift it up to God. Find a woman who's been through this with her child and successfully been able to implant things into his mind. And they've worked together as husband and wife and invested in him. And that doesn't mean everything's perfect, but it does mean that he is following the path of, since I can talk about this openly with God, I don't have to do things so much in secret or try to get resources and information from other things that are blatantly talking to me, you know. And I know it can be difficult. I do. I understand that. But understanding the tie-in between my sexual feelings and this hopeful future that God has for me, that's a very different narrative for me to be thinking about sex rather than, so this is what you do when you have this feeling. You do feel a little bit bad, but it's okay. You'll feel bad for a little while. Even somebody could say, God will forgive you, but it's just something you have to deal with. And if I feel like everything sexual about me is something I have to deal with, you are putting on this negative connotation about the fact that I want to embrace my sexuality. I need to hear from you as my pastor teacher, as my mentor, as my mother, as maybe somebody who stepped in place of a mother. I need you to say again and again that what you're feeling sexually is normal, that God is not angry with me about it, and that he has more and more to show me about it in this area. And it doesn't start with attachment to another person. It actually starts with me. It starts with me loving my feminine nature and loving all the things that make me a woman, you know, from loving Bath and Body Works to picking flowers in a field to daydreaming about marrying this guy after my first date with him, because that's just how my brain works.
Sure.
Doesn't mean we're just going to go ahead and get married.
Sure.
But I want to feel like I can embrace who I am and know my identity in that, so that I can healthily bring that and combine that with my future husbands.
And if that's not your experience, you and God are so set up for a beautiful conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And use Psalm 51. You know, verse 3, I acknowledge my transgressions.
Yes.
Okay? My sin is ever before me,
mm-hmm,
because I haven't received forgiveness. And then we cry out, create in me a clean heart. Renew a right spirit in me. You know, restore unto me the joy of my salvation.
Mm-hmm.
There is joy on the other side of sin.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and we really encourage you to listen to our next podcast that talks about the talk.
Yes.
You're going to love hearing from Pastor Roger and Liz about how to step by step, how to talk to your children. And we always say, you know, fire is so lovely in a fireplace, but so destructive outside of it.
Mm.
And sex is the same. It's so good. It was designed to be good. And I know there's a kickback from what's termed the purity culture. There was a few books written a few years ago, and people emphasized purity to the point where young people thought sex was bad.
Mm-hmm.
That was never our intention as parents.
Mm-hmm.
I was in that part, and I didn't recommend that certain book to my sons, but we did a lot of talking. But just to know that God is available,
yes,
no matter where you are today, if you're living with somebody, maybe stop.
Yeah.
If you're watching porn and masturbating, definitely stop.
Yes.
You're hurting yourself.
Yes.
And don't be embarrassed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, okay, we're struggling in this area. Shame is powerful.
Mm-hmm.
And Satan wants us to feel shame, not only when we mess up, but too ashamed to go to God to confess up.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, Adam and Eve.
He uses that silence so hardcore against us.
Adam and Eve covered themselves up with those little fig leaves, you know, but Jesus, shame is not your future. Jesus is. Jesus
Amen.
Took on our shame.
Yes.
You know, he's not surprised. He saw it all while we were doing it.
Mm-hmm.
But if we stand with him,
yes,
we confess, we repent, we receive forgiveness, we are now clean.
Yes.
Then you are free from cultural sexuality.
Yes.
You know, don't tell me getting naked and getting in bed with someone that you just met, oh, it's cultural. No, it's sin.
Mm-hmm.
You know, speak up.
Yes.
In your sphere. If someone comes over and wants to watch an R-rated movie, say, oh, I don't. I don't watch those.
Right.
If someone starts watching an R-rated movie, you can leave.
Yeah. Flee.
Paul says flee
from sexual sin, right?
Flee youthful lust.
And you know what? I would even add to that, Michelle, as well as all of those specific groups of people, I would also say for people that are already married to remember that they too can bring their marriages to God in whatever ruts they're in or whatever cultures they've built, whether it was intentional or unintentional. And they can ask God to help them remember Ephesians 5:21, which is submit yourselves to one another because of your reverence for Christ. One to another. And another translation, it's a great reminder in the middle of this verse that the very character of God should be at the center of sexual relationships between husbands and wives. Consideration of each other, acceptance of each other, love for each other, faithfulness towards each other, gentleness towards each other, understanding towards each other, and submission to each other.
I love that.
And even in Psalm 133:1, we don't apply this verse a lot of time to our marriages, but it is so applicable because we are believers. We are two believers together. And it says how good and pleasant it is when brothers live together in unity. Sex is a unifier. Sex was not designed to elevate selfishness. It's meant to be a mutually enjoyable experience for men and women, both physically and emotionally. And this begins with each spouse thinking of the other and caring about what makes them feel satisfied physically and what encourages them emotionally. How do we connect with each other in these profound ways? By honoring God's designs within each other rather than using them against each other.
Well, we want to thank our listeners for joining us today. We know it was a lot.
Yes.
And more is coming.
But you know what? We thank you all. We're on this journey with you. You know, even as we said at the beginning of the show, there's so much that God sheds light on as we expose how we're really doing in the depths of our being to him. And as you said, Michelle, he already knows. He wants communion. He wants fellowship. And he wants us to follow his leading about how that should be manifest in our life. He has special plans for us, right?
Mm-hmm.
And those special plans do include things about our sexuality, our spouses, and our relationships with ourselves. So let's really encourage one another. Pursue yourself, pursue your marriage, pursue who God made you to be, and know that living in that fully, it really is the essence of the joy that's going to be experienced, whether you're married or not married. It all goes back to God. Everything about you is intentional. He's your creator. He is the original lover of your soul. And he wants you to experience real freedom through him. Amen.
Beautiful.
So we just thank you guys again for joining us today. Don't forget to subscribe to the show on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and more. And be sure to join in tomorrow as the Sex Talk continues with Roger and Liz Robbins. God bless you all. We'll be praying for you. Pray for us. We love you.